like to start tonight with a word of encouragement. And that's because I realize that some of the things that we've been going over lately may be new concepts to you, so they may be hard to understand. I want to tell you that the goal is not to get you to be experts in those fields. Maybe some of you will at some point. But it's just simply to develop familiarity with those concepts. So it's not to master them necessarily. But at the same time, I want to challenge you to make an effort. I want to encourage you to do what it takes to expand your knowledge and also to develop your critical thinking skills. Another thing that I want to mention is that it's actually going to get easier. And the reason for that is because I started with an area that's a little bit more difficult. And for that, I want to give you an idea of the roadmap of what we're trying to accomplish here. And you'll see that the section we're in now is a little bit more difficult than some of the things that are coming in the future. If you look there, you see that what we're trying to talk about is the Christian worldview. Because we live in a day when people tell us that it is just primitive to believe in God. It is only old-fashioned and people who are not acquainted with the latest developments in science and so on, just those people believe in God and go to church and worship. Our goal is to show that that's simply not true. If you see the square that's of a different color and it's kind of hard to see, well, that's where we are now. And we're talking about the existence of God. And how we do that, we show that the existence of God is something that should be believed on based on natural theology. This involves a lot of philosophy and also bringing scientific support for some of the philosophical arguments. So that makes it a little bit difficult. But as we go on, we've talked about two arguments. Today we're going to close talking about one of the arguments that we started last time. And then we'll have one more, but that one doesn't rely so much on science. So it's going to be a little bit easier. And after that, most of what you see there doesn't really involve a whole lot of philosophy, so it's going to be easier to grasp. Just really quick, the very next thing you're going to do, and we're going to do, and after that, there is no particular order that we have to go in, but the very next thing will be to look at the revelation of God in history, and that's most powerfully shown by the resurrection of Jesus. Then we'll go at some point and look at some other arguments for God and Christianity. Then there's questions that and challenges that skeptics bring. There are objections that need to be answered. Perhaps you've heard that some people saying that the Bible is not trustworthy, we shouldn't believe the Bible, why should we believe it? Well, it's because it's the revelation of God, and there are actually very good reasons to think that that's the case. It's the Word of God. In addition to that, we'll have to talk at some point about the deception that's brought by the world religions and also by false and new religions, which are cults. That's just to give you an idea of what we're trying to do. But to continue what we did last time, I want to remind you that we started talking about a version of the teleological argument. The teleological argument has to do with the purpose and design that is seen in the universe. The word teleological comes from the Greek word telos, which means purpose. And we actually recognize purpose and design when we see it. If you go out in the desert and you see a pile of bricks, a pile of stones, you don't think, unless they're shaped and unless they're positioned in a particular order, you don't think that somebody put them there. But if you see a building, you think and you begin to immediately understand that there was a purpose, that there was a design in that building. So what does fine-tuning mean? The fine-tuning of the universe means that At the very beginning of the universe, there was a delicate balance of initial conditions, and those were required to permit the existence of life. They had to be precisely the way they were, the quantities that they were, in order for life to exist. And that's life of any kind, not some sort of alien movie type life. Not even that would be possible. There would be no chemistry. There would be no elements as we know them, no chemical elements as we know them. All those things were balanced on a razor's edge. And that's the fine-tuning of the universe for life. For that, I want to give you a quick analogy. And that's the biosphere on Mars. Now, there is no such thing. It's only an imaginary thing. But we do have a real one, actually, in Arizona. A biosphere is an area where life-permitting conditions exist, where you can actually have life. You don't need one of those. If you haven't visited it, it might be an interesting project to do at some point. But you don't really need one of those unless you're going to conduct a scientific experiment on Earth. However, imagine that you go to Mars where you have harsh conditions, and imagine that you see that same biosphere on Mars. Now, if you're on Mars and you see a biosphere like that, you enter and you see that there is a control panel with several dials. And all those dials are set to very specific values. They control the oxygen ratio. They control the temperature. They control the humidity. There is a system for replenishing the air. There is a system for producing food and generating energy and so on. And each one of those dials, you can tell that has a very wide range of settings. It could be, each one of them could be set to a great number of values. Changing even one of those, even a little bit, would make life impossible. It would destroy life. And that's what life tuning is talking about. I'm sorry, fine tuning. And fine tuning, I want to tell you that it's not something that just Christians would like to believe. But it's something that actually scientists believe, and there's wide agreement that the universe is fine-tuned for life. For example, physicist Paul Davies, who is a well-respected scientist, and he's actually a professor at ASU, says that there is now broad agreement among physicists and cosmologists that the universe is in several respects fine-tuned for life. Also, the well-known scientist Stephen Hawking said that the laws of science as we know them at present contain many fundamental numbers. And the remarkable fact is that the values of these numbers seem to have been very finely adjusted to make life possible, to make possible the development of life. Now, isn't that interesting that they would say such things? One thing that I want to say before I move on, that these scientists, it's actually good to listen to what they say when they talk about science. But as soon as they start making metaphysical inferences, so when they start saying, well, you know, this is what we see, but here's why it's actually happened. Here's how things were before science can explain anything, then there's really no reason to pay attention to them because they're in a field that's outside of their area of expertise. So let's talk about, so again, it's important to take and pay attention to what they say when they talk about things in their own field. When they step outside of that field, they're not to be trusted, or we shouldn't really pay much attention to what they have to say. The design argument from fine-tuning speaks about certain things that are fine-tuned. Well, what are they? There are some constants of nature. I'm not going to mention them. There are several. One of them is gravity. We all know about the force of gravity. That's a constant of nature that's fine-tuned. Another one is the cosmological constant. The cosmological constant is that number that drives the acceleration of the expansion of the universe. The universe is expanding. Stars and galaxies are moving away from each other with rapid speed. Not only are they moving away, but they're moving away faster and faster. Well, there's a number that defines that, and that's the cosmological constant. That cosmological constant was present there at the very beginning. There are also some certain arbitrary physical quantities that have been fine-tuned from the very beginning. What exactly is it that would make life impossible? Here's one example. I just mentioned that cosmological constant. Changing that by one part, just one part in 10 to the 120th power, would make life impossible in the universe. Life of any kind. Now remember, all those quantities and constants have to be simultaneously precisely tuned. It's not good enough to have one or two or three. All of them have to be just exactly the way they are. Remember those dials in the biosphere? Well, they had to be exactly at the values, at the levels where they are. So let's look at the argument briefly here and get close to concluding. The argument goes like this. Premise one, and a premise is just a statement. Premise one says that the fine-tuning of the universe is due to either physical necessity, chance, or design. And then premise two says that it is not due to physical necessity or chance. And conclusion, therefore, it is due to design. Let's quickly see what those things mean. First, and then we'll look at the premises to see if they're actually true. Physical necessity. That means that the constants and the quantities that we briefly mentioned a minute ago must have the values they do. Chance says that the constants and quantities that we talked about just happen to be what they are by accident. And then design says that the constants and the quantities were designed to be the values that they are. Quickly, premise one. It's really uncontroversial. This premise covers every possible option. So the universe either had to be the way it is, either happens to be this way by chance, or else it was designed. There's really no fourth option that has been presented by anyone that has been brought forward. So this premise is easy to show that it's true. Premise two says that it's not due to physical necessity or chance. This is where you have to do a little bit of work. We're not going to do too much of that, but I'm just going to mention that physical necessity says that the universe had to be life-permitting. And this is fantastically implausible, because what we would have to say is that a life-prohibiting universe is a physical impossibility. And that's a radical view, and there's really no reason to take such a view. Nothing seems to make the constants of nature and the physical quantities necessary. Why couldn't they have been different? What about chance? This says that that fine-tuning for life is just an accident, and that we are just extremely lucky. The problem with that is that the chances that the universe that exists should happen to be life-permitting are so remote that this alternative is simply unreasonable. Now remember, if just a change in the cosmological constant, so small of a change, will make life impossible, imagine that you have to have all those things together perfectly tuned for life. So we can reject chance as an option. And then what we're left with is design. And that's our conclusion, that the only alternative is that the universe was designed to be the way it is, and those physical quantities were there from the beginning because a super intelligence put them there. And we believe that God is the designer of the cosmos. You know, the most important thing that you can do is to have a relationship with the designer of the cosmos. What a privilege that is. The psalmist said many years ago, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." If you haven't taken that step to be in a relationship with God, I encourage you to do that. And if you do know Him, I challenge you to get to know Him more, to actually know Him as a friend, as a parent, and as somebody who wants your very best. We have reasons to believe that our God exists and that His universe is our place. This is the home that He has prepared for us, and this is the theater where the drama of salvation is unfolding until the day when He will bring all this to an end and He will begin a new chapter in the history of humanity. Amen.